to figure out what the Lord wants to say, and came to a couple of words and found that these words were very closely related. One is the word memory. The second is the word remember. So memory is a noun that is defined as the faculty by which the mind stores and remembers information. So your memory is actually, it's a physical something. It's a noun. It's something that is storing that information. The word remember is a verb that is defined as have in or be able to bring to one's mind an awareness of or call to mind again. So our ability to remember is a verb. So have you ever thought about the question, why did God even give us a memory? I think we could all acknowledge that anything in God's design is for a purpose, and he's done it for a reason. I kind of jammed my finger a couple of weeks ago. I can't seem to get it to straighten back out, but when I put a splint on it, I realized how important this finger was when it came to typing or pretty much anything I was doing. That thing really got in the way. God has a purpose for everything he does, whether it's in our lives or whether it is in his creation and how we were created. Both the Old Testament and the cognitive memory is not limited to a cognitive recall, but more by acting, a response to that knowledge in the present, in accordance with what is remembered. We also see many times in the scriptures where remembering is tied very close to God's covenant. For example, let's just take one of the first ones, the one that probably everybody, if I said, when do you remember a time that the Lord said, I'm going to remember? Well, in Genesis 9, 15, and 16, it reads, regarding the rainbow, I will remember my covenant between me and you and all living creatures of every kind. Never again will the waters become a flood to destroy all life. Whenever the rainbow appears in the clouds, I will see it and remember the everlasting covenant between God and all living creatures of every kind on the earth. When God is said to remember in the Old Testament, it's not because he had forgotten, or that he can forget, or that he needed to be reminded, but rather that he honors his promise. He honors his covenants. He even honors someone's prayer. In Exodus 2:24, it talks about God heard their groaning and he remembered his covenant with Abraham, with Isaac, and with Jacob. The people of Israel were often exhorted to remember God. Chronicles 16:12 says, remember the wonders he has done, his miracles and the judgments he pronounced. So he oftentimes speaks of remembering, but also remembering some of the difficult times, remembering some of the judgments, some of the discipline. I know in raising kids, we oftentimes wanted them to remember that time they got disciplined so it wouldn't take place again, right? Remembering is closely linked with action. So this is the part that I really felt like was kind of illuminated, was the fact that the purpose of the memory is really linked with an action of what we're going to do with that. What are we going to do with that memory? What are we going to do with that that time that something took place? When we remember it, what are we going to do with it? Because if we really believe that God does everything for a purpose, then as a result, we are going to act on that. And we're going to do the right thing the next time. In Numbers 15, 37 through 40, the Lord said to Moses, "Speak to the Israelites and say to them, throughout the generations to come, you are to make tassels on the corners of your garments with a blue cord on each tassel. You will have these tassels to look at, and so you will remember all the commands of the Lord, that you may obey them yourselves by chasing after the lust of your own hearts and eyes. Then you will remember to obey all my commands and will be consecrated to your God." So this was a very direct message that the Lord wanted to communicate to his people, and telling them to actually do something, physically do something, make these tassels, put them on their garments. For why? To remember his commandments and not to forget them. There's all kinds of examples I could give you, and I'm sure some of them are starting to come to mind. You've heard it probably by many people, you know, who has a journal and write those things down that the Lord has done, or, put the inscriptions on the walls. Many of us have some of those things on our walls in our house where there's an actual a scripture, or very popular now, you see a lot of those decorations that have words of encouragement and things to remind us, So to help you tonight to remember, I brought some tassels. These are orange tassels, right? So I want you to kind of picture yourselves headed through the woods. And I want you to picture yourselves that heading through the woods is heading through life, right? And if I put you out here in Suffolk somewhere near the woods, and I said, okay, I want you to go this way, and then that way, and then that way, and I want you to find the golden egg, okay? Or for the hunters in the room, find the deer, right? Where's the trail? Where's around for, those trails that they have in Virginia Beach? Like, where's the trail? Where's the trail that makes it real easy for me to get through the woods? But there are no trails. So you start out that journey, and you can probably already guess, I've probably given it away, is that these things are, I had these in my tools, and I've had them for like 15 years, a whole roll of it. I have no idea why I have it, so tonight I know. There was a purpose. There was a purpose, right? Okay, so I'm going to imagine with you, because I've got a microphone, I can't really tie it. Just pretend like I tied this around that tree as I'm going through the woods. Because, why? When I start to head back, what am I going to be looking for? I'm going to be looking for these orange ribbons, because I don't know how to use a compass. And I need to find my way back to my car before it gets dark. So these are the trees as we go through the woods. And we're wrapping them so that we can map our path to where we're going. So to give a little more context, a little deeper understanding of the word remember, There are four examples of the word and definitions as we find them in the scripture. And I've got the Hebrew definitions that we'll walk through. So the first one, and I'm not a professional at pronouncing, pretty good here, zakar, that's a verb, to remind, to remember. It refers to remembering a past event. Also a technical term to adhering to a covenant. Deuteronomy 8:18 says, "But remember the Lord your God, for it is he who gives you the ability to produce wealth, and so confirms his covenant, which he swore to your ancestors as it is today." So this is a verb of remember, that there is some action here, and recognizing that God gives us that ability to produce and to go forth and to work and to produce the wealth. There's a connection there. The next one is zikaron. It's a noun, more of a memorial, remembrance. Refers to an object or event that serves as a reminder, memory of an event. There are several occasions of remembering a particular event. The Passover festival. Offering a reminder of past judgment as a warning in Numbers 16:40. Reminders of God himself in Exodus. Several cases where God is reminding the people of Israel of himself. The third one is zikr. Memory, mention, refers to the mental state of recalling past events. Remembering, mentioning. Remembering God's deeds. I really like this one, Psalm 111:4. But when I was doing my notes, I forgot to copy it into my notes because I was preparing on my laptop and this is my iPad. So does anybody have Psalm 111:4, like really quick? Who's fast with their Bible app? You know, when I was a kid in children's church, we had the Bible drills where you hold the Bible up, you know? So I'm going to see who can actually find that on their Bible app. Well, you can do it on that too. Yeah, go ahead. He has made his wonderful works. So back to my picture in the woods, these trees represent something. They represent aspects of my life. They represent that journey of life. So one of these might be, you know, one of those events where God healed somebody in your family. And that you've not forgotten it for a reason. There might be another tree that you wrapped around, you put a marker there, when God said, "I see that power bill that needs to be paid. I see that. I'm going to provide." And miraculously, you have no idea why that money showed up or where it came from. I've heard so many cases of people's testimonies that out of the blue, somebody spoke to someone and said, "I'll tell you this little example of, it's so exciting to be used by God." And I want to encourage you, when you have the opportunity, don't hesitate. Just do it. I was at a special service, and there was a missionary there that we knew from years gone by, and he was the father of somebody that had been a youth pastor with for my kids a long time ago. And I don't know where y'all come from, but kind of my upraising and in church and evangelists and people, there was something called a Holy Ghost handshake. Okay, that handshake is when you walk up to the pastor or the evangelist and you say, "That was a great message, brother." And inside there is a couple of folded up bills. And they are not $1 bills. They're usually a little more of a blessing, right? And so I saw this guy, and I get his newsletter. And we see all the things he's doing, and he's just a wonderful man of God. And I've never really given to his ministry. But I like to carry cash. It just, for some reason, it makes me feel better. The plastic stuff just doesn't jazz me. I'd rather have some cash. But every time I put too much cash in my pocket, the Lord tells me to do something with it. So now it's a step of faith to put cash in my, you know. I guess the Lord, what is it? Don't test your God, you know. So anyways, he just said, you know, we walked out, we were headed out. And I said, "Hold on, hon, I got to go back in the sanctuary. I got to go back in." And he was there and just taking pictures. And I walked up to him and I said, "Hey, brother, I just want, the Lord just told me to do this. And I've never done it, and that was good, but here you go." And, you know, he gave me a hug, and that was good and all, but, I mean, he didn't say anything. And other than thank you, what else do you say, you know? And, but man, that felt so good to be just obedient at that particular moment. For whatever amount it was just kind of the act of just doing what the Lord has given you to do. So we have another, I think, as Kara, memorial portion, a technical term for a type of offering used by the Israelites, the grain offering, the aroma that is pleasing to God. So I would say, generally speaking, that God causes the memory of the righteous to persevere, and that he destroys the memory of the wicked. I also believe, based on this verse, Psalms 30, verse 4, that some memory is only for a short period of time, and some is kind of meant to be lasting. Sing the praises of the Lord, you his faithful people. Praise his holy name. For his anger lasts only for a moment, but his favor lasts a lifetime. Weeping may stay for the night, but rejoicing comes in the morning. In the New Testament, there is a different kind of remembering or memory that is talked about. And it basically starts to involve the Holy Spirit. In John 14:26, it says, "But the Advocate, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, will teach you all things and will remind you of everything I have said." I believe it's a strategic effort to remember the things of God. Because that is what gives us the strength to carry on. Because see, the enemy comes oftentimes to destroy our memory and rob us of the good things that God has done. And the example in the picture that came to my mind as I was contemplating and praying was that as we get deep in the woods and we're a little bit off track and the enemy's got us, you know, by the neck hold, how are we going to find our way back to center, to the point at which our mind is clear, our hearts are right, and we're able to carry on, that we're able to persevere in the deceit, that we're able to conquer the enemy's lies and the deceit and everything that he puts in our hearts and in our minds? Because that's where the battlefield is. It's in our mind. But through the Holy Spirit, we can count on the fact that if we call on him, he will show us where those trees are that we have marked, that we intentionally marked. And when I say intentionally, I think part of that is maybe writing it down for some of you. But I find that it's so important to just acknowledge the work of God in your life. Just acknowledge it. Just give him praise. Just speak to that friend or that neighbor and say, you know what? Here's what God did for me. Here's where he showed up. Or even to your spouse. And that helps us to come back to center so that I can get out of the woods and I can find my car and I can be back on the road to the life that God has for me, to the destiny that he has for me. Because if we can get deterred, then we're a mess. And the strategic life events that oftentimes the enemy creates, and if we're not able to remember, and we don't make an effort to remember, then we're lost. Oftentimes. So with that, I close. And remembering is very, very important to the believer. And I encourage each of you to not let these events, these miracles in your life that take place, I encourage you not to let them go to waste. And if you stop and recognize that it's daily, it's hourly, and if God knows the numbers of hairs on your head, he knows about those little basic things in life that are, could be a stress to you, but he's got an answer. He's there. He's ready. So he cares about those things. If he cares about it, we should be honoring him and letting him know that we acknowledge his hand at work every day, every hour, as much as we can. So bow your heads with me. Father, we thank you, Lord. We thank you, Lord, for those times, both good and some not so good, that have taken place in our lives. Some that grip us, some that really, really throw us off track. But Lord, there's so many of those times that you have reached in You've given us healing. You've given us provision. You have exercised all the names of God, Jehovah Jireh, and on and on. You have always been there. And Lord, I pray tonight that we would be reminded on a regular basis of your good works, of your good hand in our lives, and that we would stay on track, that we would stay close to center, and thank you, and have you centered in the middle, in the center of our lives. We give you praise and thank you, Lord. In your name we pray. Amen.